So we are holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines in the bottom. The Gemara has just listed a Mishnah that we are about to embark on several blat of explaining what are the 18 gezeiros that happened in the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiyo ben Gorin. What happened was, as we saw yesterday, Chananya went up to his attic in order to try to save for Yechezkel, And while he was there, people went to visit him, and they saw that Beis Shammai, in that case, in that meeting, overruled Beis Hillel, and they enacted 18 gezeiros. 18 gezeiros they enacted at that time. So, we saw already in the last Mishnah, two of the gezeiros. One of them was, you're not allowed to do anything by the light of a candle. You can't delouse, and you cannot read by the light of a book. And what was another one in that last Mishnah? So that was number one. And number two in that last Mishnah was... And number two is Lo Yoichel Hazav Im Hazava. That was number two. We can't have a Zav eat with a Zava. We spoke about yesterday. Then today we brought a brisa which listed a whole bunch more. So the first of the ones listed in the brisa is somebody who eats an oichel rishon and somebody who eats an oichel sheni. Meaning, generally, if a person touches something that's tamei, he is not a human cannot contract tumah, except if they touch an av hatumah. They have to touch the actual source of the tumah. For example, they got to touch a nida. They have to touch a dead mouse. They have to touch, but they can't touch a table which touched a dead mouse. Now, the table can contract tumah from the dead mouse, and it can convey tumah to a bowl of Cheerios, but it cannot convey tumah to a human. However, Chazal enacted that if you eat the tumah, okay, that's going to get annoying after a while. If you eat the tumah, so then you become tameh. Whether you eat a rishon or whether you eat a sheni, meaning what happens if your loaf of bread touched the dead mouse? So, of course, after proper hand sanitization and social distancing, you wipe off the bread and then you eat it. That's eating a rishon. If you have somebody else touched the mouse, then somebody else touched the bread, so the bread is a sheni. It is secondary tumah. Nevertheless, if you go ahead and you eat that, you are also tameh. Now, this type of tumah is only tumah that will affect a truma. It's only tumah that will affect truma. It is not tumah that affects regular stuff. So now, says the Gemara. Here we start, two lines in the bottom of your Gimel Amud Beis. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says, Ha'oichel oichel rishon, if somebody eats a food that's a rishon, or Ha'oichel oichel sheni, if somebody eats a sheni, Mifsal pasli, that he... Now here's another rule that we need to know. Whenever we talk about... Generally, tumah can only go two stages. If say you have a nida and she touches a table, that will make the table a rishon. The food on the table will become a sheni, and it can't go further than that. If one food touches the next food, let's say you have a strawberry on top of your bowl of Cheerios, the strawberry will not become tamei. For that matter, neither with the Cheerios, because the table becomes tamei. And it's going to be metame of the bowl, maybe. Or maybe the bottom layer of Cheerios. But it's not going to go all the way up. So, if you have a loaf of bread on top of the... If you have a loaf of bread on top of the table, so the bread will become tame, a sheni, and it will stop there. Because tumah doesn't go beyond the sheni. However, when dealing with truma, there is an extra layer of tumah that they invented. It's called... It could go up to shlishi. Now, when we refer to a shlishi, since it cannot convey tumah anymore, we call it, just for clarity, we call it pasal. We call it pasal. We say that it is pasal truma. We don't want to use the word tamei truma because tamei is mashma, it can convey the tuma even more. So we would use the term tamei for a rishon or a sheni when dealing with truma, and we will use the term pasul when dealing with a shlishi. Now, that's for truma. For a hekdesh, the exact same rules apply, except it goes to a revi'i. And for para aduma, the exact same rules apply, except it goes to a chamishi. So when dealing with hekdesh, we will use the term tuma when dealing with a shlishi, and the term pasul when dealing with a revi'i. And for a para aduma, we will use the term tuma when dealing with a revi'i. Because again, tuma means it can convey, and pasul means it's no good, but it can't convey. That's the words we need to... Those are the terminologies we need for the following Gemara. So says the Gemara, it says that if you eat a rishon or a sheni, you are able to pasul truma, meaning you can make a truma a shlishi. Because it's truma and it's the end of the line. So the end of the line is called pasul, before the end of the line is called tameh. So in using the term pasul, so the Gemara wants to know, who is the Tana who says that no matter what you eat, be it a rishon or a sheni, mifsal pasli temuye, that loy metamu, that you're able to convey tuma, but you cannot be metamit. Amar Abba Bar Bar Chana, you know who it is? It's Rabbi Yehoshua. It is the position of Rabbi Yehoshua, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ha'eichel Eichel Rishon, Rishon. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you eat a Rishon, you become a Rishon. If you eat a Rishon, just maneuvering the thing better. If you eat a Rishon, you can become a Rishon. And if you eat a sheni, you become a sheni. And therefore, if you're a rishon, you will make the truma a sheni. And if you're a sheni, you will make the truma a shlishi. So certainly, our Gemara, which says that when you eat a rishon, again, those are the terms, rishon, sheni, shlishi. If you eat a rishon, what's a rishon? If it itself touched the truma. Okay, we have those things, Clark. That's... So if you eat a rishon, says Rabbi Elazar, you become a rishon. That means if you touch another thing, you will make it a sheni. That's not our Mishnah. That's not our Braisa. Our Braisa says that even if you eat a rishon, you will still only make the thing pasul, which we said means a shlishi. So our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar. Eichel eichel sheni become a sheni. Eichel shlishi become a shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. Eichel eichel rishon and va'eichel sheni. Whether you eat a rishon or whether you eat a sheni, you become a sheni. If you eat a shlishi, so then it depends. You become a sheni with regards to hektish. Like I said, if you hektish is like a carbon, it's like a truma. So it's like a carbon. So if you touch, say, if you touch a carbon, you will become a sheni, meaning you could be metame, not pasul. You could be metame a carbon, because you'll make it a shlishi. And like we said, carbon can go up to revi'i. Ve'ein sheni latruma, and you do not become a sheni latruma. And... because you cannot pasul truma. Now, Rabbi Yeshua explains himself. Which foods are we talking about that you're able to make a shlishi? Be'oichlin, sorry, bechulin shenasu al tairus truma. We're talking about with foods that become, that you made. So in other words, sometimes you have people who are makvid on themselves and because they want to get a lot of taira. So they said, I'm eating all my chulin on the status of truma. So, there on that type of person, he can make his foods a shlishi. He has a din of a shlishi. And therefore, if he touches them, they will get a status of shlishi, which is pasul. Okay. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that whether you eat a rishon or whether you eat a sheni, you're able to convey tuma to a, you're able to make the foods in front of you into what we call a shlishi or pasul. Okay. Why did they make such a gezeira? Ha'oichal Rishon, va'oichal Sheni. My time goes to Beir Rabban and Tumah. Why did they make Tumah? Why did they make such a gezeira? It doesn't work midiraisa. Midiraisa, it doesn't work like that. So why did they make the gezeira? That's the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, because sometimes a person will eat something that is tummy. Vishokil mashkin the truma. You know why? They wanted to be sure. You see, there's really absolutely nothing wrong with Yoraisa with going over to a sheni, a piece of bread, or even a rishon, and eating it. You cannot contract tuma. A human being cannot contract tuma from foods. So there's nothing wrong with it. But they were concerned for the following case. You're going to be munching on your bread that's tameh, and then you're going to go over to your orange juice or your pomegranate juice of truma. You're going to take a swig from something that you just bought in the Arab shuk. You bought a nice Arab thing. This is truma. You're going to take a swig. And while it's in your mouth, you're not concerned because you're not concerned with eating food that's tameh because it can't make you tameh. So while it's in your mouth, you're going to drink truma that's tameh. And in your mouth, the bread will be matama, the pomegranate juice. And that will make you eat an isur d'oraisa of teruma, that's tumea. That's the problem. What's the zimnin, the ochel oichlin tumein? Sometime you're going to be eating food that is tumea. V'shakil mashkin, the teruma, and you will take a drink that is really truma, like pomegranate juice or apple juice or whatever, of truma stuff. Vishadi lepume, you're going to toss it in your mouth, you'll drink it. Upasalu, and you will pasal it. A, violating an isur d'oraisa by being metama truma. And B, furthermore, eating that truma. Both of these severe isur d'oraisa. So therefore we said, we don't want you eating tame stuff. Now while it's in your stomach, you don't have to worry about it. If you were to eat and then subsequently eat tuma, that's fine. There's no more tuma in your stomach. But in your mouth, there's still a problem. Okay, then continues the Gemara. Shoyse mashkin tumei, and my time it goes to Rabbi Rabbanan tuma. When a person drinks mashkin, that's tumei. Why did the Rabbanan? So it's also not prohibited to drink pomegranate juice of chulin that became tumei. Why not? Says the Gemara. The zimnin, the shasa mashkin tumei, because sometimes you're going to be drinking pomegranate juice that's tummy, and you will take an apple, you will take some bread of truma, a Danish, a truma Danish, and eat it. Same gzera, says the Gemara. Hainuach. These two gzeras are the same thing. So why do you consider it like, oh, they made a gzera against food, and they made a gzera against drink? I mean, why is it two different things? It's the exact same gzera. So, interestingly, it's like, we made a gezeira against apple juice and orange juice. I mean, it's the same gezeira, it's the same point. So the Gemara says, no. I would have thought to say that hashchichi, that eating something that's tamei is normal, and then absentmindedly forgetting and taking a swig of orange juice is a normal situation. But when a person goes ahead and he puts food in his mouth with... when a person is in the middle of drinking the truma. When a person is in the middle of drinking tamei stuff, it's not so common for him to like shove an apple cake in his mouth, something in his mouth. In other words, the second thing that you're doing is that one that you're doing absentmindedly. So if I'm in the middle of eating my sandwich, I could go ahead and by mistake put truma drink in my mouth. I'm not going to have truma in my mouth and by mistake put tuma stuff in my mouth. So first I have to have something in my mouth, and then by mistake I'm going to put the truma in my mouth. So if I'm eating a sandwich, it's very normal to have your mouth full of food and then take a swig of coffee. Very normal. But it's not normal to go ahead and have a mouth full of coffee, and while your mouth is still full of coffee, to shove in a Danish. That's not normal. So therefore, I mean, it happens. Sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of a coffee and suddenly a guy opens the box and, donuts! You stuff the donut in. So that could happen, but it's just not so common. And therefore, I would think perhaps we shouldn't make a gezeira in that fashion. Kamash, Milan. No, there's a gezeira in both ways. No matter whether you eat food, that's tamei, or you drink, that's tamei. The gezeira applies in both instances. Continues the Gemara. The next case. So we finished the first din of Tuma. Second din. Habarosh, habarosh, v'ruv, v'mayim shuvin. If somebody goes into a bath, his head and most of his body gets dunked into mayim shuvin. Of course, we know that there's such a thing. There's two types of water. There's mikvah water, which is water that has never been drawn. It's in the ground. It's rainwater that went into a puddle, but it has never been drawn in a bucket. Interestingly enough, there's an opinion that holds that water in pipes has not necessarily been drawn, and there's another opinion that holds that if you have a bathtub which is attached to the house, that's like part of the ground. So according to that opinion, technically you should be able to fill up your bathtub and call it a mikvah.
Isn't it anything that where human action basically caused a change to the flow?
No, it's got to be drawn off the ground. You're allowed to direct the flow. There are many, many din with making a mikvah. What you're talking about, if you've heard of something like that, changing the flow and things like that, is there's many opinions in the Rishonim about changing the flow and directing the flow and things like that. But I'm talking base dinim over here. There is something like that of changing the flow.
Right. I'm thinking, I remember it from, I think it was Mishnah Berurah was talking about something along those lines. It's been a while since I say Mishnah Berurah on it.
Well, okay. This is more deep into Hilchas Mikvois. There's different dinim between water, spring water, and naturally running water, and a mikvah. And in naturally running water, if it's redirected for whatever reason, so there's opinions that say that's that. But in regular mikvahs, there's no problem with directing the flow. If anything, directing the flow might make it better and lose its shame. You might be talking about a different thing, that it loses its shame drawn. If you have a bucket of water and you toss it on the ground and it flows three tvachim, then it could lose its shame drawn. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. So technically, but we generally we paskin that it is considered drawn water. That's why you can't go to the mikveh in your bathtub. Ben kach or ben kach. So if a person goes into or a swimming pool. Any form of non-mikvah water is mayim she'uvim. So if a person goes into mayim she'uvim, he becomes tamei. My time it goes to be rabbanan tuma. Now again, I want to. This is only tuma that will affect teruma. Meaning, there's this new form of tuma that they invented that if you touch teruma, you're pasul the teruma. But not to say that you become tamei, like anida. Or tamei, like a zov or whatever. My time goes to Rav Baran Tumah. Why? Amar of Beivai Bar Amar of Asi. Shebetchila hayu tovlin b'mei ma'aras mekunasin. The people used to go to the mikvah in cave waters. Usruchin. Mekunasin means it was kosher. It was gathered. It was kosher water. And usruchin. But they were gross. These waters haven't been changed since Maisa Bereishis. I remember I was once taking a trip in Eretz Yisrael, and we went on this this long hike, and you had to jump into a pool of water that has not been changed since Maisa Bereishis, and it was absolutely it was like sludge. It was literally sludge. There were like dead goats floating in there. It was mamish horrible. Anyways, you had to jump like 10 feet into it, so people were scared to do it. So I was the first one. I jumped in. And like I swam to the other side of the pool, and I'm like waving back at everybody, and I'm like, yeah, we did it. And then I'm like, something looks strange. And then I realized the pshat was I had lost my glasses. I jumped with my glasses, and I didn't have my glasses anymore. So my friends did the ultimate mesiras nefesh, and they tried to dive to the bottom of the pool to get the glasses. They found two other pairs of glasses, because apparently there were two other people who jumped in with their glasses also. But the mice, my glasses they didn't find. So Akapanim, that's a pool of water that has not, it was Maim Suruchim, it was absolutely gross water. It happens to be that there's major Siyata Dishmaya. I'll tell you why, because like 2 minutes. So afterwards, we gave up. So I went without my glasses for the rest of the that trip. And a couple minutes later, down the hike, we bumped into a full a huge group of girls that were wearing only bikinis and everything like that. Like, wow, Hashem took away my glasses just in time. Anyways, so that was a nice miracle over there. Anyways, so Mayim Suruchin, it was absolutely gross. So therefore, what they used to do was, after they went to the mikveh, the kosher mikveh, they used to go into a pool, a regular bath. They used to take a regular bath of clean water. And people used to say, after a while, people used to forget that the only reason why they're going into the regular pool was just because it was so gross water. They used to say, oh, you have to go into his chilav asayim keva. You have to go into a bath afterwards. So therefore, gazru aleim tuma. Therefore, Chazal decided to gazer tuma on bath waters. My keva, what does it mean, keva? What does it mean they used to make it like you had to go? People used to say that you don't become tahar unless you first go into a mikvah water and then you go into bath water. Says the Gemara, so that's not really a reason to make a gezeira. In the end of the day, people still went to the mikvah water, so who cares that they used to also go to the bath water? In the end of the day, they used to go. People used to forget. They used to say, oh, why are we going into those dirty waters? Let's just go straight into the bath water. And they used to forget that you needed a mikvah, and they started to go straight into the bath waters. And therefore, to prevent it, we said that if you go into bath water, you become tamei. So therefore, people used to become tar, people used to go into the mikvah water and not go into the bath water. The next one is very nogea us, but it's very nogea to know not to get mixed up. Vitar shenafla reisha v'ruba shleisha lukin mayim shuvin. And a tar person who goes ahead and has three lukin of mayim shuvin, which is fall upon him, which is a shower. Person has a shower. That's also, you become tamei. My time of gozer b'rabanan tuma. Why? Because the iloi ha'aloi kaimaha. Because if they don't gozer on showers, then the original gezerah of the second bath would also not stand. People wouldn't be able to differentiate between the two. So therefore, they made an across-the-board gezerah. Mayim she'uvin passels you. Whether you go into it or whether you have it fall upon you, you become passel.
Can you become tar by a
vicarious shivet nine talent? Yes. So, okay, let's discuss that for 1 second, but let's just finish this thought. Excellent question. So, we have to understand that many people learn this Gemara, and then they say, oh, I can't go to the shower after my mikvah. And therefore, they go to the mikvah and they don't take a shower afterwards. That's not pshat. This is a special gezeirah that if you have this happen to you, you become tamei for truma, but you still get any other tuma off of you. If you were a Baal Keri, so then you went into the mikvah, which is why people go to the mikvah now. Every morning people go to the mikvah Baal Keri, or because of Tosefes Kedusha, the Hasidim do. You got that Tosefes Kedusha. You're right, you got this new din of tuma on you that you can't eat truma. Well, guess what? We're all tamei mace anyways. We can't eat truma anyways. It's not a bit. If you touch truma now, even after you go to the mikvah and you don't take a shower, you're still going to be matama the truma because you didn't have the para aduma on you. So it makes absolutely no difference nowadays if you take a shower with regards to this new tuma. So it's a new type of tuma that doesn't make a difference. And therefore, there's absolutely no reason not to go to the mikvah. In fact, there's reason to go to the mikvah afterwards for sanitary reasons. There's a to take a shower afterwards. And now for your question of, is there such a thing as going to, of making you tahar, of taking a shower? So Chazal said that they instituted the concept of showers for Tisha Kaban as a bidyeved for Tisha Kaban. In other words, there was a couple of gzer. Originally there was a gzer, you must go to the mikvah to be a Baal Keri if you want to learn. That's a new type of tumah. If you want to learn, you have to go to the mikvah. You don't have to learn, and you don't have to go to the mikvah. But if you want to learn, you have to go to the mikvah. And they said, first of all, they were mevatel like gezeira legamri. We don't paskin like that gezeira. It's a nice chumrah, and you should be makban on it if you could, but you don't have to. And then they said that as a bidyevet, to get out of that tumah, Tisha Kaban will help you get out of that Tumah. Will it make you this type of Tumah? Yes. So at the same time that it's getting you out of that type of Tumah, it's getting you into this type of Tumah. But this type of Tumah, who cares? Anyways, you're Tumah. So therefore, it is advisable to go ahead and use Tisha Kaban if you could. Better to use the mikvah. However, nowadays, of course, they closed the men's mikvah. If you find a large enough puddle on the street, you could use that. I'm sure, you know, in Chicago especially, we have, anytime it rains too much, you have half of Sacramento is always like, ocean. So if you find a deep enough place, then certainly you could be tovel over there. And I don't think the Rabbanim closed that mikvah.
Lake, like Michigan.
Yeah, right, you could. You might get arrested, but, you know, there was, Marvin, who hangs around the Kyle, he had a large butcher knife, and he went to Lake Michigan, and he was toivel it. And two blocks away from the lake, he was pulled over by screaming police cars. They came out, they put him, slammed him on the hood. Apparently somebody told him that he was cleaning off a bloody knife. But they called 911. Anyway, so he took him like an hour to get out. But there was no blood on the knife. He bought a new knife. But that was the call. Anyway, they had him on the hood and everything. Hands behind his back. It was great. Okay. So it's not so advisable to go to Lake Michigan. Also, depending on which lake it is, you have to know whether or not you could be tovel there. It's not simple. But I do believe Lake Michigan would be okay. It's very nogea, let's say. On people take cruise ships. So, you know, you're on there for 14 days. Sometimes you have to go to the mikveh. Especially nowadays, you go on a cruise ship, you're going to be on for 10 weeks. It's buy 1 week, get 2 weeks free. That was the thing. But if you could just go, you know, ask them to... They have these landing pads that are right next to the ocean. So you could go on in the middle of the night. I think they do that. They have like these landing pads where they set jet skis off and everything. So you could technically go. I think they do arrange these things that you're able to go in the ocean. You gotta. I'm saying it's not such a. They arrange in the middle of the night and nobody's there and whatever. It's been done. Okay, says the Gemara. The sefer, the next one. If you touch a sefer, one of the Nevi'im or a sefer Torah. So if you touch a Sefer Torah, you become Tameh. Again, it's this new type of Tumah, which we don't really care for nowadays. My time ago, Zubei Rabbanan Tumah, Amar Mesharisha, Shebetchilo, Hayu Matzdin, Es Eichlin, the Truma, Eitzel Sefer Torah. Because people used to take Truma, and they used to say, where am I going to put this? Oh, let me put it in the Aron Kodesh. V'amru, Hai Kodesh, V'Hai Kodesh. Listen, it's just as holy as a Sefer Torah. But then what happened was, since the mice used to be attracted to the food, and once they were by the food, they used to eat the Sefer Torah also, so they wanted to avoid putting food there. So Gazu Be Rabbanan Tumah, the Rabbanan were Gazu, that if you touch, that Sefer Torah itself convey Tumah. And therefore, if you touch it, you also convey Tumah. There is a din that you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah besides for this. And that's why you notice, if anybody... gets an aliyah, they don't touch the Sefer Torah with their hand to point the place. They take a talis, or they take you don't touch the Sefer Torah with your hands. If the Sefer Torah is ever, like, you know, during Glila, if it's ever falling, nobody touches it with their hands. You touch it with your sleeve, you touch it, there's a different gezeira, that you don't touch it with your hands. V'hayadayim, and stam hands, mipnei sheyadayim askani yasein. Because hands are, you never know where they were. They could be dirty. So because they were dirty, You scratch your head, you scratch your arm, especially back in the day before clothes were, like nowadays it's kind of hard to scratch your underarm without, you know, it's buckled up. But lemaisa, you could touch on something that is not clean. So therefore, because simply sanitary reasons, therefore they said don't touch truma with non-clean hands. So because of that, they enacted that in order to touch truma, you have to wash your hands first. This, by the way, is the reason why we wash our hands to touch bread. To eat bread. Nowadays, we wash our hands to eat bread. Why? One of the reasons the Mishnah Berurah brings down is because we want to get ready for when Mashiach comes and we go back to eating Truma. So the entire reason why the whole Klal Yisrael washes their hands is just so that the Kohanim, a very small percentage of us, will be ready to eat Truma when Mashiach comes. So that they'll get used to, like, hey, you're eating, you got to wash your hands before you eat. Only Truma. But because of that, we all wash our hands nowadays. Similarly, nowadays we're all washing our hands so that we don't get corona, so that the 80-year-old doesn't die. So very, even though it's a small percentage of the population. So interesting. Tana af yadayim habois machma sefer poisus is a truma. Hands that test the sefer Torah is also passel sefer Torah. Meshum to Rabbi Parnach, Damar Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'oicha sefer Torah orim nikva orim. If somebody holds a sefer Torah, oh, here's the Gemara. Without orim, meaning without, you know, straight skin on sefer, nikvar orim. He gets buried without, he'll be buried Aram, says the Gemara. Aram sagad, they bury him naked. Ella amr of zera, aram b'lay mitzvahs. It means he will not have any mitzvahs. The Gemara says, you lose all your mitzvahs because you touch the Sefer Torah with your hands, b'lay mitzvahs sagad. Ella ema aram b'lay oysa mitzvah. No, you lose the schar of that mitzvah. Let's say you were helping out with Galila, you won't get schar for touching it. So the Gemara says, hi gozer b'resha. Which gzera happened first? Did they gozer on stam hands? Or did they gozer on hands that touched the Sefer Torah first? If you say that they were geyser on stam hands first before they were geyser on hands that came in contact with the Sefer Torah, came in the hach goes bereisha, since they were geyser on all hands, then how sulamali? Why did they need to make another gezera that even hands that come in contact with the Sefer Torah? It's no worse than a stam hand. Ela hach goes bereisha. First they were geyser hands that touched the Sefer Torah. And afterwards it widened the gezeirah and they said all hands. The hadar gozer b'kulu yadayim. Now, of course, Tosfos points out that what do you mean? There's still an afkamina. What happens if you wash your hands and so it's not stam hands and you dry them and then you touch the sefer Torah right away? So Tosfos says, yeah, it's true. You could have found that case, but that's a very, very mild case. How often does that happen? And therefore, they wouldn't have made a new gezeirah specifically for that one case. Okay. The next gemara, Tvul yoim. A Tvul yoim is somebody who went to the mikveh that day, says the Gemara. So the halacha is that if a Tvul yoim touches Truma, the Truma conveys Tuma. Says the Gemara, Tvul yoim diraisuhu. That's the araisa. That's not durabana. That's not a new gezeira. The sivu ba hashemesh v'tiar, as it states in the pasuk, that when the sun finally sets, that's when you achieve full tahira. So the Gemara says, you're right. Sami mikan tvulyam. Erase tvulyam. Okay, erase tvulyam for me. So we're down one. Next, v'ha'oichlin shenitmu b'mashkin. If somebody eats food that became tamei through mashkin. In other words, if you eat bread that touched pomegranate juice, or that touched some sort of liquid that's tamei. The Gemara is going to say, which type of liquid? B'mashkin tamei. Ilema b'mashkin habo'in machmas sheretz. If you want to say it's talking about pomegranate juice that touched, or coffee, or whatever, that touched a sheretz. A mouse was in the coffee urn. So then, and then you took coffee from there. So what is the coffee? A rishon. What is the bread? A sheni. Well, we already said, if you eat a sheni, your tummy. Diraisin in the siv, v'chol ha-mashke asher yishasa. That's diraisa. That bread is going to be tummy mi diraisa. Ella, says the Gemara, the chiddush is, v'mashkin haboy machmas yodayim. Gzeir mishum mashkin haboy machmas asheretz. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about where they invented this tumma called yodayim. They took it further. They said, if you touch water, the water becomes tamei, and if you drink that water, the next person becomes tamei. So this is a massive new gezeira. Why did they make such a gezeira? Because they didn't want a person to differentiate between water that touched the sheretz, that coffee, and this other type of food. All right. Next one is v'hakelim shenitmu b'mashkin. Kalim, the next on the list was a cup, let's say, that became tameh through touching liquid. So we already saw this in Maseches Brachos, like that if liquid that's tameh can touches a keli, it will be matama the keli. So the Gemara says, which type of liquid that's tameh are we talking about? Are we talking about real d'oraisa liquid, for example? The blood that comes out of a nida is an avtuma. Every time I check a mara, I become tummy. Now, I don't really care because it's not balkeri tuma, so I'm allowed to learn. And for all intents and purposes, I have no intention to eat truma, go to the Beis HaMikdash, or eat a carbon by the end of the day. So I'm okay to be tummy. I'm already tummy anyways because I've been by a funeral. So now, it doesn't hurt me that I'm also... This is not to be confused with bile nida. I'm not doing any isurim by becoming tamei. So I don't... But the blood itself is an avtuma. Similarly, keri itself is an avtuma. If a person has relations and there's keri there, there's semen there, the semen itself is tamei. If somebody goes ahead and touches that semen, he becomes tamei. I mean, he's already tummy if it's his semen. But kalim to itma b'mashkin demai ilim b'mashkin dezav. If you want to say it's the mashkin of ezav, so then d'oraisin in who? If that thing touches keli, then he's tummy d'oraisa. Tichsev v'chiyorek hazav batar, as it says, and if the zav will spit on something that is tahar, so that includes any of the mashkin that come out of a zav. Masha biyad tahar timesi lecha. What is in the hands of a tahar? What would be in the hands of a tahar is tummy for a zav. Ela b'mashkin aboyin machmas sheretz gzeira mishum mashkin dezav. Rather, what we're talking about a rishon. Your coffee, the coffee that was in the urn that had the mouse in it. What's the din of that coffee? Besides being gross, it is a rishon because it touched something that's tummy. A rishon cannot make a keli tummy. It can only make other food. In order to be a sheni, you have to be a food item. So therefore, the Gemara says that nevertheless, midrabanan, they made a gezeira that if that coffee touches a cup, it will be matama the cup. Why? Gezeira, because we don't want to get confused with other types of liquid, namely the blood of the nida. Which, between me and you, there is room to differentiate between liquid coffee and the blood of Anita. But nevertheless, Chazal didn't want to make any differentiations. And they said, all liquids that are tame are able to be matama kalim. Okay? Now, the Gemara goes back to this. Before we find out what the other ones, the 18, are, we go back to discuss Yadayim for a second. Again, one of the 18 was that hands that are not washed are matama truma. That's why we wash our hands. Why? They made a gezeira because they want you to have clean hands. Sanitation reasons. Really, that's the only reason why they made the gezeira. For sanitary reasons. But they made the gezeira that if you touch food with unwashed hands, you make them tame. Says the Gemara, that was enacted during this time in the attic of Hananya. V'yadayim. Tamid is Shammai v'Hillel Gazer? Was Shammai and Hillel the one who were gazer them? Wasn't it Shammai v'Hillel Gazer? Wasn't it they themselves? The Tanya, Yosef ben Yezer ish Tzureda, Yosef ben Yerichan ish Yerushalayim, Gazer Tuma al Eretz Amen. As it states, that Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yerichan, they made a couple gazeras. Number one, they enacted that all Chutz La'aretz is Tameh. And they enacted... They were geizer tuma v'al kli zechuchis that midyoraisa kli zechuchis is a glass keli is not able to contract tuma. They said that it is able to contract tuma. Midrabanan, you're able to contract tuma. And ben Shimon ben Shetach tiken ksuba li isha. As Shimon ben Shetach was Misakein, that a person has to write a ksuba for his wife. Now, of course, She'er Ksus Ba'ayna is the Araisa, but Shimon ben Shetach was Misakein, that you have to write all of my property and is on lien to this promise that I'm making. And also the Gazer Tuma al Kli Matches, and he was Gazer Tuma on metal kalim. We're going to get back to this. What does it mean that he was Gazer Tuma on metal kalim? And then Shammai and Hillel Gazer Tuma al Yadayim, and Shammai and Hillel were Gazer Tuma on hands. So we see that they were Gazer Tuma on hands, not the students, but Shammai and Hillel many years prior to that meeting in the garain in the attic. V'chi teiman, if you want to say that when it says Shammai and Hillel were Gazer on hands, it really means Shammai and his yeshiva. Hillel and his helpers, which means his yeshiva. That's true. 18 things they were gozer, and in 18 things they argued. However, we know that Hillel and Shammai themselves only had 3 machleksim. They personally only had 3 machleksim. Not many. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question. That obviously, so when it says that Hillel and Shammai were geyser, it cannot mean that it was them and their students, and it's referring to this story. Because this story they argued about. So it cannot be one of the things in the story. The chitem, and if you want to say asu inhu and gazer litlais, if you want to say that originally Hillel and Shammai came along, and they said that, you know what? We're being geyser, that you have to go ahead and be toil of the truma, meaning it makes it like a suffix truma. And along came the students, and they argued with gazer lisraif, and they said, no, it's not a suffix truma, it's a vale truma, and therefore you have to burn the truma. It's not true though. V'hamar ilfa said that yadayim trilas gzeiras and lisraifa. Whoever enacted the gzeira against hands enacted it all the way first. Trila yadayim gzeira. Trila lisraifa. Their original gzeira against it was for burning. So says the Gemara. Ela asu inhu and gazru v'lo kiblu menah. The Gemara answers, you're right. Hillel and Shammai came along and they enacted the gzeira across the board. They enacted that hands are tameh and can convey tumah, but v'lo kiblu minayu, Klal Yisrael did not accept it, the gezeira. But then along came the students a generation later, v'asu talmidayu, and they were gezered again. And this was the machlekes, whether or not they should be gezered again. And in the attic, they decided to be gezered again. V'kiblu minayu, and Klal Yisrael was mekavelet. Says the Gemara, v'akati shloimei gezer. Wasn't it Shloimei HaMelech who made the gezera? The Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel b'shal shatikin Shloimei Erevin unatilas yadayim. When Shloimei HaMelech was misakin Erevin and atilas yadayim, yatzas abaskel. Abaskel came out for Amra Bini, my son, imchacham libecha yismach libigam ani. Now that you're smart, I'm also happy. And also another pasuk, Chacham Bani v'samach libi v'ashiva chorpi davar. I'll be able to respond to those who make fun of me. But Bukitzer, we see that Shloimei was the one who enacted you have to wash your hands. So the Gemara answers, Asa Shloimei gazel kodshim. Shloimei HaMelech made the gezeira that your hands can pasul kodshim. Like we said, kodshim have a higher degree, a higher standard of tumah than terumah. And that stood for many years until Hillel came along, Hillel and Shammai. They were gezer on terumah, a lower level. That didn't stand. People did not accept that. And comes along there, talmidim, and also inu v'gazru afle truma. And they were made a gezeira and v'gazru afle truma. They made a gezeira even for truma. That was that new gezeira. They made a gezeira even for truma. All right. So that is basically that. That will be our blat for the day. We may as well just follow the schedule. There's no limit on time. We don't have to go ahead. Did the Olam see this letter that came out last night? Yeah. Are you planning on going to work today, doctor? What's the story?
I'm off on Fridays anyway. Uh-huh. I'll be there on Sunday in my office.
Yeah.
Which letter are you talking about? When
they're
on it?
If anything, you should be going. I'm saying you're a doctor. You know, interestingly, there is a tshuva in Shevet Halevi that talks about during a plague, a magefa, whatever. So doctors are not allowed to be machmer. They have to. He says that he talks about this is the job of the doctor. Is he can't be machmer himself. Interesting.
Yeah. It's very tough. I mean, we've changed our whole, scheduling and logistics of the office and things like that. There's a lot of things. It's a